Okay, let's learn a piece from the Nesivos Shalom. This is from his Chanukah Kuntres. Nesivos Shalom is the Slonim Rebbe, as I'm sure many of us know. Passed away about 17 years ago now. And he writes as follows. B'medrash al ha-pasuk. The piece is called Chelek Belokei Yisrael. Medrash tells us on the pasuk va'aretz ha'isasohu va'vohu v'choshech al p'nei sahom. Medrash we've seen many times. Sheromez adalet golios. That this is merames to the four exiles of Jewish history. Isa shemalchus yavon nikris choshech. Right, tohu bohu choshech. The third golos is yavon, and therefore yavon is called choshech. Why is yavon called choshech? Shehichshicha einayim shel yisrael v'gzerosehem. That they darkened our eyes. Darkened our eyes means they changed our perspective with their decrees. Shaisu Ameris Lahem Kistu Al Karen Ashur She'ein Lachem Chelek Belokei Yisrael. They told us right on the horn of an ox that you have no portion in the God of Israel. That's the Choshech of Yavon. V'chein Yisav HaMedrash Parshas Bein HaBasarim. Also by the Bris Bein HaBasarim we find V'hinei Eima Chashecha Gedola Nofeles Alav. That Avram was overcome by a fear and a dread and a darkness. And again, it's Merames to the four Galios, the four Malchios. Sheromez Bezeh Ledalad Malchios. V'chashecha Zo Yavon. And again, Choshech corresponds to Yavon. So Yavon's always associated with Choshech, and Chanukah is the Yom Tov Avor. But what do we see from this Medrash? Twice Yavon is referred to as Choshech, both by the Bris Bein HaBasarim and by creation of the world. And the Medrash tells us, in what way were they choshech? That they made us right on the horn of an ox, that we have no portion in the God of Israel. So we see from this, he says, v'chazinan meha medrash, shemazkir asa gezeira shal kiswa al karan ashur, she'ein lachem chelek belokei Yisrael, sheba hechshichu hayavanim eseneim shal Yisrael, that it was through this decree, right on the horn of an ox, declare, openly declare. Why the horn of an ox? Many explanations have been given. But they wanted us to write, the key point was that we should declare that we don't have a portion in the God of Israel. She'ein lachem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. We have no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was their ultimate darkness. V'lo es shar gezeros shegazer. It doesn't say they were dark because they told us we can't do bris milah. The Medrash doesn't say they were dark because they tried to stop Shabbos. It doesn't say they were dark because they tried to cancel Rosh Chodesh or to uproot Torah in general. The Medrash focuses on a very specific thing. The darkness of Yavan was the fact that what? Sherotzu levatel es yesodos hayados haikar. It doesn't mention, right, these major principles. That they wanted to uproot the principles of Torah, Chodesh, Shabbos, Mila. Rotzu letameis benos Yisrael. That they defiled our women, which were all true. They did make decrees against Shabbos and Chodesh and Mila. They did steal our money, like the Rambam writes in the very beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. They did take advantage of our women, like the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara and Maseches Ketubos, right? But that's not what the Medrash emphasizes. The Choshech of Yavon, says the Medrash, Mashma she'ikar eitzel Yisrael hu achelek she'yesh lehem b'lokei Yisrael. The Choshech of Yavon was that they tried to get us to deny our connection to Hashem. She'ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. Uvegezeira zu hechshicho yavanam eneim shel Yisrael. And that a Jew should not be able to recognize his inherent connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest darkness in the world. And by doing so, they tried to darken our eyes. They wanted to uproot Mamish, the whole future of Klal Yisrael, to destroy us at our shoresh. And the starting point of everything is the fact that I'm a chelek elokam imam. So they wanted us to declare, Ein lachem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. You don't have a right to feel like a Jew. So I want to read to you a Hasidic tale from Rav Soloveitchik. And I want to tell you what happened to me on the way to Mincha last Shabbos. The Rav has a volume of essays on Purim and Chanukah. It's called Days of Deliverance. And on page 127, Rav Soloveitchik tells the following story. If all people see Chanukah as their own holiday and speak with enthusiasm about the Maccabees, then it is a sign that there is something in this holiday that appeals to all. One is reminded of the story of two Hasidic Rebbe brothers, Reb Zusha of Anapoli and Reb Elimelech of Lezhensk, who were set upon by a band of peasants while traveling. The peasants beat Reb Zusha soundly while they left Reb Elimelech alone. At the inn later that night, while the brothers were reciting their evening prayers, Reb Elimelech began to weep. Reb Zusha called out to reassure him. Why are you crying, dear brother? Don't worry about me. My wounds don't hurt very much. They beat up Zusha. So Reb Elimelech replied, no, that's not why I'm crying, answered Reb Elimelech. I'm crying because they didn't beat me too. They beat you because they could detect your godliness, which they hate. They beat you because you're a Jew. Apparently they didn't see any godliness in me. Probably there's something not Jewish in me. That's why I'm crying. Elimelech said, I'm crying because I guess I'm not Jewish enough. I'm walking to Shul last week. It's a little bit snowy. You know, Mincha time, heading to Mincha and Shalash Shuddis. And a non-Jewish lady is cleaning off her car, and her two little kids are playing on the lawn, playing in the snow. So the kids looked up at me, so I said, hi. And I gave a little wave. So the kid says to me, now bear in mind, I have my beard, I'm wearing my black hat, right? I think I look decently Jewish. The kid says to me, aren't you excited? It's almost Christmas. I think to myself, this is the first thing I thought of. I thought of this story from the Rav. What's wrong with me that, right? That this kid doesn't... Now again, it was a little kid. He may not know the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, right? But I guess I'm not Jewish enough. I guess I'm not connected enough to the Chelek Elokamima. And that's what the Yavanim were trying to do. To get us to question. Maybe there's nothing different about me.
You gotta stop trimming.
It's a regular person who walks down the street, you know? I don't know. I mean, I was dreaming of a white Hanukkah at the time, but...
Would you answer? Tweet.
What did I answer? I just, you know, smiled and... But I got the rest of the way to show. I kept thinking about this story. Right? They beat up Reb Zusha because he was a Yid. Reb Elimelech said, I guess I'm not Yiddish enough. I'm not Jewish enough. The Goyim aren't bothered by me. Right? So when the Goyim came and they made a decree, Kisal Karan Ashur, Shein Lechem Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael, they were trying to challenge Klal Yisrael to question this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This absolute connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second paragraph. V'yesh Lomar. The ultimate expression of what a Jew is that a Jew has to be able to declare Yeshli, right? Yesh lanu, yesh lachem chelik b'lokei Yisrael. That we have, of course, we have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not defined by anything chitoni. Kol tayag mitzvos hein eitzos, all 613 mitzvos are advice le uvosidbak. All 613 mitzvos are advice. This is based on the Zohar. The Zohar calls the Tarag mitzvos Tarag Itin. 613 mitzvos. 613 Itin, 613 pieces of advice. All to achieve one thing. Uvo Sidbak. And to him you shall cling. I wear tefillin to cling to Hashem. I keep kashrus to cling to Hashem. I practice taharas mishpacha to cling to Hashem. I eat kosher to cling to Hashem. I don't separate black jelly beans out of the bowl on Shabbos because it's borer, because I want to cling to Hashem. It's all 613 pieces of advice. Eitzos meirachuk, as the Rambam refers to them, right? David HaMelech also calls mitzvos eitzos. Right? It's advice. Advice sounds like it's optional. It's not optional. But it's advice in the sense that don't lose sight of what the real mitzvah is. The ikar mitzvah is what? Clinging to Hashem.
Isn't the translation of mitzvah actually?
Yeah, mitzvah means, right. Yeah. Tzavsa means attachment. Relationship. That's what the word means. So attach yourself to Hashem. Eitzel Yehudi Yesh. So again, the goal is Ubo Tidbak. Haynu Sheyesh Lachem Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael. Eitzel Yehudi Yesh Chelek L'Lokei Yisrael. B'chol In Yonav V'chol Mashu Osa. Again, I picked a piece today that's very B'derech Avoda. Nothing too fancy. Right? But something very important. That every bit of my Avodas Hashem has to express my Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael. It can't be that I do anything in this world without God having a chelek in it, without God being a part of it. V'alderach t'chsev, like the pasuk says, b'chor b'necha titen li. Your firstborn should be given to me. Reishis b'kurei ad mascha, tavi beis Hashem elokecha. Trumos ha'maestros, chala, right? We always give a portion to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. She'in yonam sh'mikol davar yesh l'chelek l'mala. Then everything we do, we offer a donation to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everything you give me, Hashem, I'll give 10% back to you. We always try to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol asher titen li, merumas al kol suge ha'anos. Kol asher titen li, whatever you give me, I'll give back to you. There's nothing I'm going to do in this world which is without that expression of a chelek elokah, bimal. of that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that chelek b'elokei Yisrael. Kol asher, anything I experience in this world, you're going to be a part of it, Hashem. Everything, every type of hana, I'm going to make sure to make you a part of it. Shemikol ha-metzius, lo-etol davar mi-bli sha-aser asenu lach. There's nothing I'm going to take in this world without at least making a partial donation to Hashem. U-mikol inyan emsor le-chelek le-elkei Yisrael. And whatever I do and every matter that I'm involved in, I'll donate a portion to the God of Israel. Now look what he tells a maisa in the bottom right-hand corner. This is pretty powerful. Kumosha Amar Maran Admor Baldivre Shmuel Zuchusi again Alenu. The Divrei Shmuel was the second Rebbe of Slonim. He lived from 1850 to 1916. The Divrei Shmuel one time was visited by a Rav Chosid, Rav Avram Pinchas Shershevsky. I don't know much about that person. He came into the Divrei Shmuel. Again, this is probably somewhere in the late 1800s. Shenichnas Eilav La'achar Nesuav. And he came to visit him after he got married. Came to have Yechidus with the Rebbe. Va'amar lo bisrak shuz Rava as a pasuk. And the Divrei Shmuel said to him, with tremendous hisrakshus, the following pasuk, Tilim Kuf Lamed Beis. David HaMelech says, Im avo v'oel beisi, if I enter into my home, Im e'aleh al eres yitzu'ai, if I ascend, if I go up to my eres, to my bed, we say it every day in Tachlim, if I ascend my bed, yitzu'ai, which is spread out, which has sheets and blankets and pillows, nice comfy bed. David HaMelech says, I'm not going to my house, I'm not getting into bed, I'm not closing my eyes. Ad emtza makom la'Hashem. Until I find a place for Hashem. What's David HaMelech saying? Everything that I do, Hashem's going to have a place. Not only in the Beis Medrash, not only in Shul, but when I'm getting into bed at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be a part of that experience. And the Divrei Shmuel didn't say any pshat on the pasuk. He just said the pasuk. He just, with his ragshus, he said this pasuk to this chassid of Avram Pinchas Reshevsky. Lo hisiv me'um al zeh. And the Rebbe didn't add anything to this. Rav Avram Pinchas yatsa mimenu ochuz eslavas. But Rav Avram Pinchas walked out, this new chassan, having been taught by the Divrei Shmuel, right, that even in my bedroom I have to have the Rabbanu Shalom. That even when I'm getting into bed at night, and everything that I do, I need to make a makom for Hashem. Shetachlis shal Yehudi v'avodaso hi ad emtsa makom la'Hashem b'chol inyan. That Hashem should be involved in every single thing that I do. U'kamaymer maran admor the Birchas Avram. The Birchas Avram, Zuchusi again, Alina was the father-in-law of the, I assume that's who he's quoting. There was a Beis Avram also, Slonim. I assume he's quoting from his father-in-law, the Birchas Avram, father-in-law of the Nesivos Shalom, who explained that Kistva Karan Ashur, what did the Avanim say? Top of the left column, right on the horn of an ox, Shein Lachem Chelek Belokei Yisrael. What does Lachem always mean? Lachem, what does Lachem mean? Chatzi Lachem, right? Chatzi Lachem. Part of it's for you and part's for Hashem. Lachem always represents, so to speak, the physical aspects of things. So the Yavanim wanted us to say, Ein Lachem Chelek Belokei Yisrael, that when you're involved in Yoni Lachem, when you're involved in mundane worldly matters, there's no Elokei Yisrael in Lachem. There's no God in the mundane, in physical matters. Klomar, Bein Yoni Lachem, in Yonim Gashmiim, Shal Heter. Ein Lachem Chelek Belokei Yisrael. When you're involved in mundane things, you want to talk about spiritual things, talk about spiritual things. Right? There was a great Greek philosopher who was known for his very perverse sexual behavior. And he didn't see it as a stira. He didn't see it as a stira to his great wisdom and his great philosophy. The fact that he was sleeping with little boys. They caught him. And you're supposed to be the big chacham. You're the wise scholar. And the answer is, what does one have to do with the other? What does my inyanei lachem have to do with my philosophy of the world? As Jews, we would never say such a thing. You could never imagine such a thing. Another famous philosopher, also a professor of mathematics, was involved with one of his female students. Right? And they said, and he was an ethics professor also, the person who taught ethics. So they asked him, they said, you're an ethics professor, how could you be involved in this type of behavior, which seems to be unethical? So he says, just because I'm an ethics professor, right, that doesn't have to impact my personal life. He says, does a person who teaches math have to be a triangle? If I teach trigonometry, do I have to be a triangle? So if I teach ethics, do I have to be a moral person? Who says I have to be a moral person? I do whatever I want on the side. That is so foreign. That is like the most foreign thing from what we believe as Jews. The Torah that we study and we think about is not an intellectual, abstract study. It's how we live our lives. Torah milashon hora. It's how you function. Right. So the Yavanim said, "Ein lachem chilak b'elokei Yisrael." Let's keep God in the theoretical realm. Right. They didn't like the avoda of the Beis Hamikdash. They didn't mind the Beis Hamikdash as a museum, but the avoda that a Jew should be osek in avoda, that wasn't their thing. When you're involved in mundane things, there is no Elokei Yisrael involved. Why ride it on the horn of an ox? Because what's the nature of the ox? Right? The ox pursues its taivas. Like the ox that gets what it wants, that enjoys a life of physical pleasure, right? So too, you should also do the same thing. Umaran hagon atzadik of Moshe Midner zatzal. Bir maimer chazal brachos daf ches. Shekaru lemitasa shaman degane beli kriyashma mita aramis. A person who goes to bed at night without reciting kriyashma, your bed is a bed of aramis, right? It's not good. An Aramean bed. It's not good. Shelachor b'mach chamer kolkach pishao sheshachav lishon below kriyashma. Why is it such a terrible avera? You went to bed and now you didn't say Shema. The Chazal say about such a person, Shachazal omru la bitu ko nora mita aramis. Mita aramis, as if you're what? As if you're going to bed like a Gentile. Because you didn't say Shema. Elish Yehudi tzarach b'chol davar limsur chelek elokei Yisrael. And the answer is yes. Because I'm missing the whole point of Judaism. If I don't realize that going to sleep is also a Jewish thing, and eating is a Jewish thing, and walking down the street is a Jewish thing, and there's a Jewish way to do things, if I don't recognize that, then I have a serious problem. That I'm not so far away from what makes my bedroom different than Amita Aramis. Im nishkav lishon below kriyashma, ve'ein lo es kol hakavanos shel kriyashma, sheyesh lehudi lefnei sheshochev lishon. If you don't say Shema, and ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, uviyadcha afkiruchi, I'm giving over my neshama to you, Hashem, to guard, to protect, harei mita zehu mita aramis. Then you're a Gentile. Then you didn't do anything. You're going to sleep for however many hours you're sleeping. What did you donate to Hashem? Right? It's hard to do a lot in your sleep. So at least make a donation when you start. Give the chelek to Elokei Yisrael. Say Shema before you fall asleep. But if not, for hours, right? You're engaging, again, something of the body for a long period of time, so you get a normal night's sleep, without donating anything to Hashem. How could that be? Where's the chelek Elokei Yisrael? Where's the portion that you've given to God? Very, very important. Mamash, very important. And the Yavanim recognized this. The Yavanim recognized, they didn't like it, that you can't just be a professor in the class, professor of Talmud in the classroom, you know, and do what you want on the side. That bothered them, because that's how they wanted to live. Sha'ikr etzel Yisrael u'chelek b'lokei Yisrael. And that the Jewish people said, no, we have a connection to God. A chelek. There's a portion of a connection to Hashem and everything. Zekol ha'achiza shel Yehudi. This is where a Jew is clinging to. She'eich shehu ma'shehu v'afilum chote. Aval yesh l'chelek v'lokei Yisrael. So much so that even when I mess up and even when I sin, right, there's a part of me that's still mekusher to Hashem. She'bechol pe'ula shu oseh choshev al Hashem yisbarach. That everything that I do, I think about Hashem. V'lachein hazeh ratu la'akor. And that's what they wanted to uproot. She'bin yoni lachem. That it matters again of physicality. Lo yeh chelek belokei Yisrael. Ki yadu shekasher Yisrael dvukim b'Hashem Yisbarach. V'Yisbarach misyaches aleihem lios nikra Hashem elokei Yisrael. Oz ein kol uma v'lashon yecholu lishol behem. The Yavana knew as long as Jews maintain that connection to Hashem, no one can touch us. When you're clinging to Hashem, no one in the world can harm you. Right? But when you separate that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in big trouble. And everything, all their decrees were pointing in this direction. Give up Shabbos, right? Give up Rosh Chodesh, and all the months that follow, all the holidays of that month that follow. Give up Rishmila. Your time shouldn't be different than ours. Your body shouldn't be different than ours. The way you live shouldn't be different than ours. That's what they were trying to uproot. Gemara says in Shabbos Chaf Alef Beis. Shekishenichlasu Yavanim lehechal timu kol hashmanim. Yavanim were tamei all the shemen la'am Yisrael hayo miazu mitamid oivim sharad fosam. We always had enemies who pursued us to harm us. But this was a unique battle. This was arguably the most dangerous battle of history, where they weren't trying to physically kill us, but to assimilate us. They wanted to uproot, again, the menorah, because like Chazal say, the menorah, the burning of the menorah, was proof, the Gemara says, proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina was amongst us for all those years. And then Hashem is connected to us. And uprooting Chodesh and Shabbos and Mila was the same thing. He explains, four lines from the bottom. The Chodesh in Yanu Amuna. Kicham Amora al Chakira. The sun represents Chakira. Chakira means philosophical inquiry, right? Trying to understand God logically, philosophically. Vilavana, which the Jewish people are compared to, the moon, hi Amuna. V'Yisrael monin l'lavana. The Jewish people count according to the moon. V'gzeirasam ha'isa lakras Amuna mekasher Yisrael l'kodesh Baruch. And the Yavana wanted to uproot that Amun. Right? They wanted us to become, again, philosophers. People who are connected to the sun, not the moon, who's recipient of the light of the sun. Mila, what's so powerful about Mila? Nichrasu alei yud gimel brisos bein Yisrael l'kodesh Baruch Hu. Turn the page. V'shabbos. Mila is the 13 covenants that the Chazal say were attributed to Mila. Right? Again, a deep bris, a covenant, a connection. And lastly, Shabbos is the bris olam b'nei uvein b'nei Yisrael. Kol ilu mahavim is a kesher b'nei Yisrael l'kadosh baruch hu. She'oso ratzu ha'yavonim l'akor. B'yodam she'kol zman she'Yisrael dvukim b'ashem yisbach ein shum koach b'olam she'yachol ha'shmidam. Yavonim knew as long as we're clinging to Hashem, there is no way to destroy the Jewish people. U'kidirei ha'rambam amor nevuchim that the first Rebbe of Slonim, the Yesod HaAvodah, brings she'bishah she'yehudi davuk b'ashem yisbach. Ein shum dinam yecholim lishlod alav. When we're connected, then we can't be harmed. On Shabbos, many of those miros on Shabbos, we highlight the fact that we're able to drive away the dinam, able to drive away all forces of negativity. Right? Why does Shabbos have the ability to do that? Why does Shabbos have the ability to do that? Because Shabbos is a zman when a Jew is more mekusher to Hashem than he is during the week. He attaches himself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Shabbos is about. Being connected deeply to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you're connected to Hashem, it's mevatel the dinim. So that's why on Shabbos, the Zbiros are saying that we're driving away midas adin. We're davak to Hashem, we're clinging to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I had something to say just now, and I can't remember what I was about to say. But let's see, maybe it'll come back. So again, the Rambam says that when a Yehudi is davuk b'Hashem Yisbarach, ein shum dinam yecholim lishlot bo, lishlot alav. He can't be harmed by negative kochos when he's mekushter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, that's what I was going to say. On Shabbos, right, we're more limited in how we move about. Al yetzei yish mimkomo b'yom haShabbos. A person doesn't go out of his place on Shabbos. Right? But I think you could say that al yetzei yish mimkomo, my makom is Hashem. And on Shabbos, everything is more holy. My eating is more holy. My sleeping is more holy. Right? It's all Onik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, the sanctify Shabbos in different ways. Right? So Al Yetzei Shmukoma, I'm more. My pieces are gathered together. I'm not scattered like I am. Pizor HaNefesh, scatterbrained like I am during the week. I'm a kosher to Hashem. And when I'm attached to Hashem, even the Rambam already told us that what? That they're not able to get us. V'im heim rotzim lahashmid es klal Yisrael. Haderachi lakores dveikusam belokei Yisrael. Kissu al karen ashur. Shein lachem chelik belokei Yisrael. Zos ra'u heim le'ikar ba'shmadas ha'klal ba'prat. To destroy us individually and collectively, that's what they needed to destroy. We learned from the Berditchever a very important teaching. Me'oivai techakmeni. Pashup Shah means, me'oivai techakmeni. I have to be wiser than my enemies. But the way that the Svarma Kedoshim explained, and he's about to explain, me'oivai techakmeni means I have to become wise from my enemies. I have to learn what they're trying to do to me, and then I learn more about myself. I get to know myself. Me'oivai techakmeni. K'maimer maran b'birchas Avram, z'chusi again aleinu, shemidarchei ha'oyev, from the ways of the enemy, tzarech Yehudi lahachim mahi darko ho. From the way that the enemy attacks, you need to learn and understand him, and by extension to understand yourself. Umizesh Yavanim Rao Bilzoas Lakor Yikarim. Since the Yavanim wanted to uproot this essence of a Jew, Yesh Yehudi Lilmod Sheikarhu Yesh Lachem Chelak Belokei Yisrael. If our greatest enemy, arguably of all time, Yavan, was trying to say Ein Lachem Chelak Belokei Yisrael, right, then the flip side has to be the realization that Yesh Lachem Chelak Belokei Yisrael. That's what we learn from our enemy. And how deep does that go? How far does that go? How far does my connection to Hashem go? Let's say, God forbid, a person walks outside now, murders someone in the street. Are they still mekosher to Hashem? Or maybe they've gone too far. So he quotes a very powerful line from the Kabriner. Rav Moshe of Kabrin, Slonim comes from Kabrin, and Lechovich, and Karlin, and back to the Magid, and then back to the Baal Shem Tov. So the Kabriner, Rav Moshe of Kabrin said, Sheyehudi she'eino mesugel lamud lispala. A Jew is not able to gather the strength to daven, u'lishpochas libo lifnei Hashem yisparach, and to pour out his heart before Hashem. Af la'achar she'over al iser ha'chomer b'yosef she'betorah. Even if he just did the biggest of error in the Torah, if you can't come back to shul after that, if you can't walk into shul and daven a heartfelt mincha, lo darach al miftan ha'chasidus, you haven't even touched the threshold of chasidus, you don't know the first thing about chasidus, right? And then he went a step further and said, Al Miftan Hayadus. You don't know anything about Judaism. Because if you think you ever did anything that destroyed yourself completely, there's no such thing. Ah, so you'll tell me Karis. So I'll tell you, Lo Yidach, Mimenu Nidach. Hashem won't drive anyone away. How are we going to work out all the Karis? Is this a free for all? Hashem's got our backs, and I can do whatever I want. Chas v'shal. Karis is very significant and very real. And if a person in Kas Vashem does Karis, does something that's Chayav Karis, he has to do very intense tshuva for that. 36 Christos. Right? But he has to know that he's always connected. I'll repeat a story I shared before Slichos this year. I don't remember who it was. Who was the Rebbe? Radzmin, maybe? Radzmin or Rebbe? I don't remember who the Rebbe was. Someone came to a Rebbe and said, I want you to curse this guy. He's the worst Jew ever. He's making my life miserable. Right? And give him a klala, Rabbi, give him a klala. So the Rabbi says, how can I give him a klala? He's still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Give him a klala. You can't put a klala to him. He says, the worst Jew. He's mamish the worst Jew. So he says, let me ask you something. They tell me he did things that are chayav karis. How many krisos are there? 36 krisos. Yeah. He says, but there's 3 krisos I know for sure he didn't do. He didn't make the ketores. He didn't burn the Ketores. He didn't make the Shemen HaMishcha. Right? So he says, at least 3 things on the list in Krisos he didn't do. So if at least 3 things he didn't do, then Achut HaMashulash, and the 3-ply cord, Lo B'Mehera Yinotik. But it means, right, the way that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explained, we saw it last year. When you do an Avera, the way the Baal Tanya explained also in the Geras HaTshuva, you're cutting cords. You're connected to Hashem with many ropes. Every time you do an Avera, you cut one of those cords. So you get shakier. Right? So if you did Karis, you're cutting big ropes. Yeah, but at least he still has 3 ropes of connection. He didn't anoint himself with the Shemana Mishcha. Right? He didn't mix the Ketores. That much he didn't do. So they tell me he eats chametz on Pesach, and he sleeps with an Isha who's a Nida. And he does all, okay, but he still has at least 3 things that he's connected to Hashem. And Achuta, right? The pasuk says Achuta Meshulash, a 3-ply cord, lo b'mehera yinotek, is not easily severed. You can't curse a Jew. You can't give up on a Jew. So the Kabriner says a big chiddush here. Person does a big avera, and he can't bring himself to do mitzvahs afterwards. He doesn't know anything about chasidus. He doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. Maimer zeh noveya chiddush otzum. Says in the Siva Shalom, this is a very big chiddush. Shelechora, you could say the opposite. Yehudi she'avra al isra al chamur v'sha b'torah, eizo chutzbehu. She is yatzev achakach b'tfilo lefnei Hashem Yisbach. Maybe the opposite. You just did such a big avera, chutzbah. How dare you walk in and start asking Hashem for things that you need, talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a chutzbah. But apparently we learn from this, from the statement of the Kabriner, right? Obviously it's not ideal to murder someone and then come to Daven Mincha. Right? But if God forbid a person committed a terrible crime, he has to still say, Afal Pichet, I'm a Jew. And as a Jew, I'm still chayv in mitzvos. And as a Jew, I'm still obligated to have a relationship with Hashem. Right? That in every situation, whatever matzav it is, Afal matzavim hashveilim biyoser, Lamatame Asara, the place where the menorah is placed, even if you're in a low place, Shagam Lasham, Magia or Halukus. The light of Hashem reaches such a place. Yehudihu ben Melech. Sheikh Shahu Shafal Viarud Af Shema Nishim, Oso b'chol minei onshim, even though they're going to be punished with all sorts of punishments, Ein mitziyaso yachol lishanos miyos ben melech. It doesn't change the simple reality that he's a ben melech. He's still a prince. And if the prince did something disgusting that's embarrassing to his father, the avoda is not to be a worse prince, but to become a better prince. To come back to the base medrash and to daven a good mincha. To try to begin the healing process of whatever you did wrong. Ma'amad zesh al Yehudi hu nitzchi. This is the eternal reality of a Jew. V'kasher hu zocher es zos, harei hu yachol eshuv, le'achiz b'zeh, she'yesh lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. When you cling to this, you're clinging to the realization, the antithesis of Yavan's ein lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael, you're declaring yesh. Yesh lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. Okay, now look at this line. Bottom of the right-hand column. V'inyin zeh shel chelek b'lokei Yisrael shayach lo rak b'pnimius ha'inyonim ela b'chol ta'aluchos ha'chayim. This connection that a Jew has is not only something that we carry inside of ourselves, an internal reality, but again, it's something that we try to live with, to practice. Top of the left column, final column. Yehudi tzarech livchon kol hanhagosav ha'im yesh v'ham chelek l'okei Yisrael. A Jew has to ask himself about everything that he does. Am I doing this in a Jewish enough way? Am I doing this in a Jewish enough way? Yeah? Let's start with Chanukah. Let's start with Chanukah. That's a good place to start, no? Am I doing Chanukah in a Jewish enough way? So I want to read you another passage from the Rav. This is intense. The Rav said the following, also from the same volume, Days of Deliverance. Chanukah. Everyone is glad to associate themselves with the Maccabees and the Hashmonaim, be they half-Jews, whole Jews, assimilated Jews, atheists, agnostics, and even those who are Jew-haters. All are spiritually enriched by the holiday. I remember that in the late 1920s, I happened to pass the Sunday Temple in Berlin, to which the assimilated Jews of Germany belonged, Jews who genuinely despised the Jewish people. I noticed that the temple was richly illuminated and decorated for a holiday. I was curious, so I went into the temple, where I found them having a Chanukah celebration. The rabbi lit the menorah, all 8 candles, as I remember it was the third night of Chanukah, and then he gave a clever speech. The high point of the sermon was that the true heirs of the Hashmonaim, of Matizyahu and his sons, were actually the national German Jews, who were at that time conducting a campaign to expel from Germany the Jews from the East, generally Poland. That same Chanukah, I happened upon another curiosity. In the Jewish community library, I chanced upon a copy of the Moscow newspaper, Der Emes, the truth, the paper of the Jewish department of the notorious Soviet NKVD. This newspaper also had an article on Chanukah and the Hashmonaim. With every means at its disposal, the article argued that Chanukah was actually a communist holiday, and the Jewish bourgeois and clerical world had no right to celebrate Chanukah. Judah the Maccabee was the first member of whatever, the communist party. Actually, I need not go deeper into my memories to find such paradoxes and absurdities. American Jewry is full of them. How many Chanukah candles will be lit? Ready for this? The Rav. How many Chanukah candles will be lit in temples on the Shabbos of Chanukah after the reciting of Kiddush, with people singing Mosor to the sound of the organ, singing songs of gratitude to the Hashmonaim who fought for Shabbos observance, the celebration of Rosh Chodesh, and circumcision? How many enthusiastic sermons about the Maccabees and freedom of religion will be given at non-kosher banquets? This is from, I'm reading it out of a different book because I don't own Days of Deliverance, but it's from Rav Soloveitchik's writings on Chanukah and Purim called Days of Deliverance. So everyone wants to be a Maccabee. And everyone has their own interpretation of Chanukah. But the question we have to ask ourselves over and over again is, does everything that I do respond to the ultimate gezerah of Hechshichu Einayim Shel Yisrael, which was Kitzvu Al Karen HaShor She'ein Lechem Chelek B'Lokei Yisrael? So if you're the type of person, right, who's able to put his life into different compartments, to say this is when I'm, more Jewish, and this is when I'm going out with friends, as someone told me recently, yeah, but I like Torah, it's just I like to go out. What do you like to go out? Who gave you rishus to go out? Whatever going out means. Hamev and Yavin. Who gave you rishus to go out? Who says you're allowed to go out? Go out and do things that people of the world do. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with Chanukah. V'al derech sh'amar Maran Baal Divrei Shmuel. As again, the Divrei Shmuel of Aslanim said, and it's also brought b'shem l'chafetz Chaim. Shekasher Yehudi mivarech baboker shalo asani goy. When you make a bracha in the morning to say thank you Hashem for making me a Jew, right? Or thank you Hashem for not making me a goy. Tzarechu livdok heitev es atzmo haim be'emes kulo Yehudi. You need to check yourself, right? To see, am I truly a Jew through and through? Is every bit of me a Jew? Kalashon ha'yesod ha'avoda darch yid. As the yid within me, right? Bin darch, has it penetrated me? Is every bit of me Jewish? Do I use my eyes in a Jewish way? Do I use my ears in a Jewish way? Do I use my feet and my hands in a Jewish way? Hayam ein bo af ever echad goy. Do I have every bit of my body the way that it's supposed to be? Uledugma, he says, for example, Binogeya lahalichos habayis bin yani mosros v'kadoma. Everyone's talking about Rav Shaiman, who passed away yesterday, and the simplicity with which he lived his life. And he was a person who had no problem getting, he could get money from a lot of people if he wanted. He could have updated a lot of things in his life. Right? But he didn't. He wasn't interested in it. Because he felt, what do I need it for? And again, I don't think it's always good when we try to make, we try to give chashivas to poverty. Right? Because unfortunately there's people who do need and should have and don't have. And sometimes it's just their own irresponsibility that's leaving their families struggling. And not everyone's a Chavetz Chaim or a Steinman. So I don't know that it's always best to share these types of stories, Berabim, right? But every person on his level has to say, what are the extra things in my life that I really don't need? That I really, really don't need, and it's nothing other than a distraction. Am I able to look at myself and say that I'm a true Jew, that I'm the real deal? Someone told me there was a Jew, a Hasidish Yid, who was trying to get into a shul in Paris. I don't know what he was doing in Paris. He was in Paris, he was trying to go to shul. And because of, the tense situations in the world, right, so they have a security guard at the entrance to the shul. So they stopped him. So he said, why are you stopping me? He said, sorry, only Jews are allowed to go into this place. They didn't know they never saw a Jew like that. The security guard never saw a Hasidic Yid. So he said, no, this is only Jewish people are allowed to come in. Right? I'm more Jewish than all the people in there. I'm more authentically Jewish than everyone in there. Okay, but this is my interpretation of what Yiddishkeit is. Yeah. So a person has to ask himself, Shalos ani goy, am I a Jew all the way through? When it comes to excesses in our life, Hari milvad kol inyanim ha-shalilim, besides all the negative things that come from all the excesses of our life, tzarech liros b'chol davar shiyah lechem chelet b'lokei Yisrael. Whatever I do bring into my life, I have to ask myself, do I know how to use it in a way that part of it is, a portion of it is given l'lokei Yisrael? Right? Like David HaMelech said, I'm not coming into my house, I'm not walking into my room, I'm not lying in my bed, I'm not closing my eyes, until I can figure out how to do all those things in a way of Hashem. You know what's interesting? When the Torah, since Hanukkah is a big zman of fixing the eyes, my left eye is hurting a lot, it's a zman of tikkun einayim, fixing our eyes. The first sin that ever took place in history was a misuse of the eyes. Before Chava touched the tree or ate from the tree, right, the first thing that happened is Vatera. She saw that the eighth was Nechmad Lamara. She saw that it was pleasing to the eyes. So the Sfar HaKadoshim say, the beginning of all Chet, we spoke the other week about how Chanukah is a tikkun for Adam Arishon. The very first part of the very first sin is what? Is the misuse of one's eyes. Is to see something in a way that you desire, which is against the will of Hashem. Chanukah is a zman of fixing the eyes, of making sure that we can see things in the right way. So it's interesting. David HaMelech says, I'm not getting into bed, I'm not closing my eyes, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not going into my house, I'm not making a move unless I can do it for Hashem. You find in the Torah, when it refers to someone looking at something, sometimes it says, and he lifted his eyes. Vayisa enav. He lifted his eyes. That's a strange lashon, vayisa, lift. What do you mean to lift your eyes? I mean, it's like poetic. Okay. But the Svarim HaKadoshim say that a tzaddik, like an Avraham Avinu who lifts up his eyes, is a person who every time he blinks his eyelids, he has a kavana. So Avram doesn't just stop see things; he lifts up his eyes to look. Right? He moves his head in a purposeful way. Again, you can make yourself crazy if you don't do this in a normal way. Right? But the tzaddikim, every move that they make is purposeful. He's Jewish. And that's what David HaMelech is saying here. Right? I'm not going to do anything. Ad emtem makom la'Hashem. Bayis she'ein bo chelek l'okei Yisrael, hu mufrech l'gamri etel Yehudi. And sometimes we have things in our house, again, some things which I can figure out how to make it for Hashem, and some things not. I had a conversation with someone earlier this week. They were asking me what I thought about them. I was talking to someone, I said, are you dating yet? He said, not yet, maybe soon, I'm still trying to figure out some things in my hashkafa. They started to ask me what I thought about owning a television in this home. So I asked him, what do you thought? I said, what do you think? He said, I don't own a television. I said, what do you think? Now, I'm not sure. It's maybe hard to justify the chelik l'okei Yisrael of owning a television. I don't know that there's a chelik l'okei Yisrael in that. Right? And this guy told me, you know, I'm big on sports. I don't really watch other things, right? But I don't know. If you can't find a way to donate part of it to Hashem, that it should be a portion of it, a chelik l'okei Yisrael who mufrach l'gamri etz l'Yehudi, then it has no place in the life of a Jew. Again, some things can at least understand how it fits in. I don't know why a Jew needs a TV. So I told him, I think if you're grappling with it, you should start your life without it. I think you'll see that you won't need it. I think you'll see that, God willing, when you have a home for yourself and you build a home with your wife, you'll see that you don't need it. I said, to bring it in and then to decide at one point to get rid of it is going to be much harder than the opposite. I said, just try without it. If you really feel you need it, then you know, you'll reassess. But I think you should try without it, because I don't think it has a chelak l'okei Yisrael. Who could the isa be a soda avoda? Pasuk says, when Moshe Rabbeinu, this is also extremely important, it's a phrase in the Torah, but the isoda avoda, the first Lama Rebbe emphasized it. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Aaron's sons died, v'esira achatas darosh darash Moshe v'hinei soraf. Moshe said, what happened to the carbon? And it was burnt. V'yiktsof Moshe alazar v'al yisamar. Moshe gets very upset and says, why'd you burn the carbon? So Aaron says to Moshe, "V'achar kach amar Aaron, v'achal tichatas hayom hayitav b'enei Hashem, v'yishma Moshe v'yitav b'enav." Aaron says, "My children died today. If I were to eat the carbon of Hashem, would that be pleasing in the eyes of Hashem?" And Moshe said, "You know what, Aaron? You're saying good. You're saying good, Aaron. You're saying a good svara." Yeah. So says the Slanim Rebbe. What is this idea that Aaron says? Very interesting thing. Aaron says, "Hayitav be'inei Hashem." Is it good in Hashem's eyes? Is it good in Hashem's eyes? Right? What do I mean? How do you look that up? How do you look up something if it's good in Hashem's eyes? Yeah, but Shulchan Aruch, is it mutter or is it aser? What does that mean? Hayitav be'inei Hashem. Umefarish vayishma Moshe. Moshe heard what Aaron said. Sheshama kan derech hadasha. Moshe was happy when Aaron said a new svara, a new path. What does that mean? She'eino omer ketora sisi o kalacha sisi. Aaron didn't just say, I followed the halacha, I did what the Torah asked. El hayita b'nei Hashem. Aaron said, you know how I came to this conclusion? I asked myself a simple question. Is this what God wants or not? Well, technically, it's mutter. Everyone's a big lamdan all of a sudden, trying to rationalize whatever it is they want to do. Ask yourself simple. Hayita b'nei Hashem. Does this help you serve Hashem or not help you serve Hashem? If the answer is no, then don't have it. Then don't be involved with it. Aaron was mechadish. Hayitav v'nei Hashem. She Yehudi tzarach lishkol kol davar shu osa. Hayitav v'nei Hashem. A Jew has to ask himself, is this pleasing in the eyes of Hashem? That's how a tzaddik lives his life. A tzaddik is not only, right, playing games, just trying to, you know, manipulate the halacha, which can obviously be manipulated in any direction to achieve whatever he wants. But the tzaddik asks himself over and over and over again, Hayitav v'nei Hashem. Is this pleasing in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Is this what Hashem wants? Who gam kein al pia amor sha'ikir etzel Yehudi, who sheyesh lechem chelek b'lokei Yisrael. They tell a maisa when Rav Leibel Eger was becoming a chassid. So he was visiting different chassidic courts, and he found himself by the chassidim for Rosh Hashanah, and he stayed for Rosh Hashanah. It was very inspiring, and they decided to stay for Yom Kippur. He said, I'm going to decide, you know, he's deciding, should I be a chassid or not be a chassid. Remember this, my son?
Yes.
So it's Yom Kippur, and the davening is very powerful and very beautiful. A lot of Islavas, Isragash, it's beautiful, Nagunim, a nice slow pace. And he said that all of a sudden, after Shachris, he sees things start moving around in the base medrash. tables are moving around, the chairs are moving around, tablecloths are coming out, they're setting up. So he said, well, what's going on here? You know, Chassidim have a lot of different minhagim. He wasn't familiar with everything. So, well, what is this? So he said, Kiddush. Time for Kiddush. Kfil Chaims. Well, herring. I said, it's Yom Kippur. So they said, yeah. So he's like, ah, very funny. You know, like, I'm like the new guy, so this is like, you know, Yom Kippur jokes. But he sees that they're like setting up. They're taking out plates and, you know, shot glasses, and their mom's setting up for Kiddush. So he said, what, I don't understand. What are you doing? It says in the Torah, it says, V'nisam es nashos eichem. You have to afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. They're not moved. They're busy. They're setting up. So he runs over to the shelf. He grabs Mishnayis Yom. He opens up. He says, no, look, see, these are the Yisurim of Yom Kippur. Maybe you don't know what V'nisam es nashos eichem means. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. I said, no, I'll make a few lechaims. I'll make it better. I'll make the davening better. So he's going beyond. He grabs the Shulchan Aruch. He's trying, look, he's trying to. So finally, he says, maybe these chassidim, maybe, you know, they're very into Kabbalah. So he goes and he gets to the Zohar, and he, you know, with his bekiyas, he opens up the Zohar to the place where it talks about the severity of eating on Yom Kippur. And he's showing them nothing. He says, they're mamish pouring the wine and shot glasses, making a few lechaims. They're about to. He said, they're raising up the cup, they're about to drink. He's out of sources, you know? I gave you the Pasuk, I gave you the Mishnah, I gave you the Gemara, I gave you the Shulchan Aruch, I gave you the Zohar. And as they're about, mamish, they're raising up the glasses, about to drink, all of a sudden, Rav Leibel screams out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zacht Nein, Hashem says no. So they say, Hashem says no. Oh, okay, Hashem says no. They're trying to teach him that a person can go his whole life with all the sources and all the books and all the, nothing to do with Hashem. You can make your own version. You can be lighting 8 candles on the third night of Hanukkah, making your own version of Hanukkah. Yeah, the Iker is a Jew has the essence of Hayitav be'enei Hashem. Is it pleasing in the eyes of Hashem? Where's my chelek l'Elokei Yisrael? Where's my portion that I'm donating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'hu gam ken al piya omor she'iker itzli Yehudi, hu she'yesh lachem chelek l'Elokei Yisrael. V'zeh shayach b'ofen klal yal klal es ha'adam, v'chein b'ofen prati. To ask yourself, every single thing that you do, is this pleasing in the eyes of Hashem? Is this something that gives a nachas ruach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I wanted to share with you a couple other quick insights that I think are related to this. The Sar Shalom of Belz. It's brought in this volume on Torah and Moadim. Pasuk says, it's in the section on Shemos, Parshas Va'era. The Pasuk says, V'samti pedus ben ami uven amecha. The word pedus appears 3 times in Tanakh. Happens to have a strong connection to Hanukkah. Yeah. I was thinking also the other week by the Yotas Kislev thing, how Baal Tanya got out of prison on the words Pada B'Shalom Nafshi. Right. Shalom, we've explained, has a connection to Hanukkah. Pada is Gematria Hanukkah, but we're not doing Gematrias today, so scratch that from the record. Yeah, so the beginning of Pidyon when it comes to Hanukkah. The word Pidus appears 3 times in Tanakh. And the Sar Shalom has a myriad of art on the way that Pidus is spelled 3 times. The first time it appears in the Torah is spelled Chaser, and the 2 times it appears in Tehillim, it's spelled Malach. Meaning the time it's spelled in the Torah is spelled Pei Dalid Tav. And in Tehillim it's spelled with the Vav. Pei Dalid Vav Tav. It's spelled Mal. What's the Pshat? Why is Pedus spelled Chasar and then spelled Mal? So where's the first Pedus? He says the first Pedus is in, again, Parshas of Eira. Vesamti Pedus Bein Amiu Bein Amecha. Drawing a distinction between the Egyptians and the Jews. That Pedus is spelled without a Vav. Hainu. Lahakir HaHefrish Shebein Ish Yisrael Leish Nachri. The first pedus to understand the difference between a Jew and a Mitzri, you don't need a full pedus to understand. You don't need, it can be chaser. The word can be chaser. Because even a person who's chaser, yeah, I'll go even a step further. Even a Jew who's missing the letter Vav, the Vav is the Os Mila, is the Os Bris Kodesh, letter Vav. In the Sfarim, the Vav is the Os Bris Kodesh. So even a Jew who's, let's say, Nechshol, yeah, in Inyane Bris, right? So you'll say, he's like his Gentile neighbor who's also Nechshol in Inyane Bris. It's interesting. The Mishnah says in the Darim that an uncircumcised Jew is called circumcised, and a circumcised Gentile is still called an Arel. An uncircumcised Jew is still called Mahol, because a Jew is essentially, at his essence, he is circumcised. And a non-Jew, even with a Mishmila, is still called an Arel. So you see, it's not always what you get. Mesamti Pedus, even Chaser Vav, it's clear to be able to distinguish between Bein Ami uVen Amecha. Where's the second Pedus? In Tehillim Kufyat Aleph, Pedus Shalach Lamo, Pedus Shalach Lamo, Hainu, Lehavchinu Lahakir HaHefesh, Ba'am Yisrael Bein Ish L'Re'eyu, right? Amongst the Am, then Pedus, to be able to distinguish, you need to have the full Pedus. You need to have a full understanding, right? Ksev Pedus Mali, Lezet Tzarech Leos Mali B'chach Miyasera. To be able to distinguish between one Jew and another Jew, you have to really behold it, right? The difference between them is much more nuanced. And then, of course, the last Pedus, you'll recognize this one from Tehillim Kuf Lamed, V'harbe Imo Pedus, Hainu, She'ish Yisrael Yakir Ba'atzma HaMailos Shalom, V'chesrono, K'siv Malei V'gam V'harbe. V'harbe Imo Pedus, for a Jew, Ben Adam La'atzma, to recognize who he is, what he's about, to recognize his strength and his weaknesses, that V'harbe Imo Pedus. Not only is the word Pedus spelled Malei, but Harbe. It takes a lot of understanding to figure oneself out. To be able to distinguish, to be able to self-assess yourself when you're so nogeya b'davar. To be able to ask yourself in an honest way, am I Jewish enough? Am I connected enough? Right? Am I getting holiday greetings from little kids on the street who can't even tell that you're a Jew? Yeah. That's a big problem. It's a very big problem. So Asemis writes in this week's Parsha, Svasemis says in this week's Parsha, Tafresh Mem Dalad, the Svasemis says, we say by Havdalah, three Lashonos. Right? We say, Bein Or Lachoshech, Bein Yisrael La'amim, Bein Yom Hashvi L'Shin Shemei Amasa. So Svasemis says, each of these represent a different aspect of Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Olam means a place in the world, Shana means a time, Nefesh means a person. Right? He says, Or V'Choshech is the world. Yeah? Nefesh, Bein Yisrael La'amim. In time, Yom Hashvi'i L'Sheish Tzmei Amasa. Listen to the words of the Sfas Emes. I'll end with this and a quote from Rav Hirsch. Aval ha'ikar taloi b'nefesh ha'adam. Kefi masha nefashos mavdilin bein kodesh l'achol. Kach nimsa havdala zu ba'olam uvizman. To whatever degree a Jew understands the havdala that takes place between us and the world, right, which the Chanukah comes to highlight. To whatever degree, the ikar is taloi b'nefesh ha'adam. To whatever degree we can separate ourselves from the natural world around us, whatever degree we can make those choices, so too there'll be a havdalah in the world. There'll be a havdalah within zman, but it starts with the individual. It starts with the person and his commitment to Hashem. So I leave you. I leave you with a quote from Rav Hirsch, Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. Yeah. It's hard. Hanukkah time, people sometimes, you know, we shy away from learning these types of things because it sounds racist that we're saying that we're better, that we're different. Right? Different comes with a lot of different things, yeah. It comes with greater responsibility. It comes with greater responsibility for ourselves and for the world. But I can't walk around the earth, right? And again, I'm not using, God forbid, that greatness that Hashem has given us to beat up other people, but to take responsibility for them. I call myself the best, and by best it means I take the most achrayis. Right, not that I'm the best, and therefore I can take advantage of those who are lesser than me. The opposite. I'm the best, and therefore I provide for those who are lesser than me. Right? To have a sense of real sense of who a Yid is in the world. It's just Rav Huttner's yard site. Rav Yitzhak Huttner was on a plane that was hijacked. TWA Flight 74 in 1970. Rav Huttner was on the plane. He was taken hostage for 3 weeks. And he lost 44 pounds over the course of those 3 weeks. So he could imagine, they weren't taking such good care of them. Yeah, and Dafka, they knew he was a rabbi, and they, for Rav Huttner was a Talmud of Slobodka, Kavod HaTorah. Rav Huttner was very makpid, right? Even amongst his fellow Jews, Kavod HaTorah. And that wasn't going to be any different when he was being held by terrorists. So at one point, Rav Huttner, one of the terrorists, was getting some food, was bringing food and drinks over for the people they were holding hostage. Right? They didn't want them to die, they were trying to keep them alive. So this Arab, he was running, Raja was his name, he's running around, he's gathering up some food, and he brings over some drinks, he found some soda, some Pepsi, and he brought it over and he handed it to Rav Hutner, and Rav Hutner says to him, "I prefer that my drink should be cold." Imagine, said to the terrorist. Where's the Kavod HaTorah? You give Rosh Hashiva a hot soda. Where's the Kavod HaTorah? Don't you know that I'm better than you? Don't you know I'm different than you? I'm Klal Yisrael. So fine, you might have the upper hand that you guys got the guns or whatever, and you took over the plane, right? But I'm Rosh Hashiva. He made him get him a cold Pepsi. He made him get him bananas. He was in the mood for bananas. He said, "Give me a banana." And he got him a special chair to sit on. He said, "I'm not comfortable. I need a chair. Give me something to sit on." He got him a chair. But a yid should know his place in the world. Right? Again, deep sense of the Havdalah in Yisrael La'am. So I leave you with a quote from Rav Hirsch. It's from Rav Hirsch's volumes, the 19 letters, letter 15. Rav Hirsch says, "Be a Jew. Be a Jew. Be it really and truly. Endeavor to attain to the ideal of the true Jew in fulfillment of the law of justice, righteousness, and love. Then you will be respected. Not in spite of the fact that you are a Jew, but because of it." As Rav Hutner said, Rav Hutner knew who he was. Rav Hutner said, "I can cover the Torah. I can tell a terrorist what to do." Comprehend yourself as Jew and disseminate that comprehension by word and deed among your non-Jewish brethren, and you will have no occasion to complain that your Judaism cannot travel through this world. No, Jew has to be confident in being a Yid. Shalom Sanigah, you have to ask yourself every morning. Yes, am I Jewish enough? Am I identifiably Jewish in every bit of my being? Okay, it's a big task. Mirtz Hashem, Hanukkah should give us the chizik to do it. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. It's another good story.